This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and we're about to hear from Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate. Before we finished with Russell, just as we, Russell Mosley, before he left, an email sent by Barrett Kennedy saying, explain the deduct box that accompanied Huey and what happened when Huey was shot. And Russell Mosley, as he was leaving, said it was stolen. So that's what happened to the deduct box, which was at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. And Mark Ballard, you being a son of Louisiana, I'm sure you're fully aware of the immense legacy of Huey Pierce Long. You see a statue every day when you come to work, and he died 85 years ago today, and we're still talking about him all these years later.
I work in the building that he built, and I'd like to think that the deduct box is sitting in a wall somewhere in Baton Rouge, in someone's home.
maybe so.
That's my romantic view of it.
Well, yesterday, Mark was covering the issue that has been front and center, and he wrote eloquently about how his wife is facing a battle to cast a vote in the November 3rd election, which, by the way, is now 54 days away, 54 days away from the finish line. And Judge Shelley Dick, U.S. District Judge from Baton Rouge, ended 2 days of hearings asking for briefs. What's going on with this continuing dispute between the governor and the Secretary of State?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that there will be briefs that will be delivered today, less than 25 pages, she said, and that she's going to write her opinion as fast as humanly possible. I'm not sure how fast that means. And then my guess is that it will be appealed to the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and regardless of what she says. But we're getting close to the point where Secretary of State Kyle Ardoin needs to get going on whatever plan they have. If we don't get a plan, then we're just going to go back to the way it was, the way the law states now, which is very limited absentee mail ballots.
Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate, is at our service. 877-217-5757 is your number. And you note in your story today, the lead reads, the number of mail ballots already requested for the November presidential election has almost tripled, leaving the Louisiana Secretary of State's office worried it won't be able to count them fast enough.
Yeah, and this is tripled under the existing law, which means that the people who could apply for mail ballots are doing so, perhaps. They're fearful of catching the COVID while standing in line at the precincts. So it's going to be a challenge for them to count mail ballots. Well, at least that was what the testimony was.
And the story above the fold, there are two of them. Let's go to the first one. The Metro Council rejected by 4 vote a $5 million settlement for the family of Alton Sterling. 5 council members voted against the settlement: Denise Amoroso, Dwight Hudson, Matt Watson, Trey Welch, Scott Wilson. Jen Rocca abstained from the vote. Your thoughts?
Well, I believe that they're going to be meeting again today, the lawyers and the city parish are going to be meeting again today. This is a controversy that's going to have to be settled one way or the other, whether or not the city parish council is going to get on board with it.
And I misspoke. Actually, 6 members of the council voted for it: Shauna Banks, Lamont Cole, Donna Collins-Lewis, Erica Green, Chandler Loop, and Tara Wicker. But it takes 7 votes, and it was the 6 or 5 African-Americans voting yay, and then the only white member of the council to vote with the black members was Chandler Loop. 877-217-5757, Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. You're on with Mark Ballard.
Hello, Mr. Jim. Hello, Mr. Mark. Mr. Mark, I want to thank you for your column. I think it woke a lot of people up to what this ballot issue is, because as popular as your wife is around town. So God bless you for that. My only concern is the Attorney General Jeff Landry, being a Trump acolyte or a wannabe Trump acolyte, is just going to try and tie this thing up in court so as to suppress the vote. And I was wondering what y'all's comments are on that.
All right. Well, thank you, Henry.
Well, I'm not sure, you know, that he would say that he's trying to suppress the votes. But what will happen is if we go back to the way the law is right now, that people who are afraid of catching the COVID are likely not going to vote, rather than stand in line and possibly catch the virus.
Well, the other story above the fold from Brooks Kubina, who covers sports and lately has been covering a lot of news, and this is a blend of the two. Back in Tiger Stadium at 25% capacity and no tailgating, Governor John Bel Edwards told reporters he supported placing a capacity limit of 25% on Tiger Stadium the whole season. So if that were the case, that would mean November 14th against Alabama, there would only be about 25,000 people in the stadium. So this is something that's bound to cause a lot of consternation, because how do we pick and choose who goes and who stays, and what do we do, Mark Bauer?
Well, I do think that the athletic department already has been asking season ticket holders, you know, how they want to handle this season, you know, whether they want to, you know, take their money that they had paid for their seat and postpone it until next season, you know, and let that be the down payment on next season, or whether they want to get refunded for it, or just how they want to handle it. 25,000 will make Death Valley maybe not so deaf.
And 25,000 people presumably wearing masks. But I have a feeling those masks are going to come off, Mark.
Well, true. Mm. True. And they'll be sitting 6 feet apart, so...
Well, the story, LSU fans upset, but understand restrictions. That's on the sports section. Tailgating prohibited. This is a huge economic engine for the state. We know that as well. And Coach Orgeron right now is facing some defections on his team. He's had two star players leave, big stars, Tyler Shelvin and Jamar Chase. And he had his players walk out of a meeting a few weeks ago, and the word is that it was prompted by Coach O's statement on Fox News that he supports Donald John Trump. And mind you, this is a coach with a team that is 85% African American. Here's Coach Orgeron.
Makes me proud. I love President Trump. He treated us very well. We went to the White House. I think he's doing a fantastic job.
All right. So a full-throated endorsement from Coach O for Donald John Trump for re-election 54 days away. That didn't sit well with his players, Mark Bauer.
Well, it didn't. And I'm thinking that the LSU is going to have a tough row to hoe anyway, having lost so many of its star players from last year's team. And so this just makes it even more difficult for them. You also have to look at that most of these football players are looking at a professional career in football, and they've got to kind of protect their future. And I can see where, you know, in looking at what their personal needs are, they would be making decisions that are not necessarily embraced by the fan base, or me, for that matter.
All right. 877-217-5757. Should Coach O have voiced his support for Donald Trump? That's a question that many are contemplating. Now, Coach O is not
Now, did he actually say, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, or did he just say...
He just said he was doing a great job.
And he's doing a great job.
And he loved him, and he loved him.
Well, Governor Edwards has also praised the president several times.
He also said, bless his heart.
but that doesn't necessarily mean that the governor will be voting for Donald Trump.
That is true. And we have a case in which the football coach, Ed Orgeron, born 7/29/61, did not register to vote until he was 58 years old. So he's not a politically active person. And And the president was very nice to him at the White House. And I remember he said, he's all man. And of course, Coach O ate it up. And he went on Fox News, though. When you go on Fox News and say you love the president and he's doing a great job, that's tantamount to an endorsement. And I think Coach O probably miscalculated, because at the Superdome on January 13th, and I was there, the largest ovation of the night came when Donald Trump came with Melania down on the floor of the Superdome. Both the Clemson fans and the LSU fans were cheering wildly. It was euphoria for the fans, who were 90 to 95% white. But they're much different than the team, which is 85% African-American. And as we know, black people generally are not supportive of our president, Mark Ballard.
This is very true. However, regardless, I think South Carolina and Louisiana are two places that the president can assume victory in the November 3rd election.
And a listener, a very astute listener, notes that South Carolina has elected an African-American Republican to the U.S. Senate, and quite possibly, I don't know that it's a likelihood, but the African-American Democrat opposing Lindsey Graham has a fighting shot of unseating Lindsey Graham. And wouldn't that be something if the great state of South Carolina, which produced James Strom Thurmond, the greatest segregationist of them all, had two African-American U.S. senators? That would be something.
I think we're going to be seeing a pretty remarkable election come November.
Well, we'll talk a bit about that with Mark Ballard. And, of course, Louisiana went 58% for Donald John Trump in the year of 2016. What will it be like in 54 days? 877-217-5757. Back after this pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and then we swing to Colonel Zach Miller, who's leading the comeback from Hurricane Laura. He's back from Lake Charles to his hometown of Baton Rouge, and Colonel Miller has been with us once before, but it's been several years. We'll talk about what's going on with the people who 2 weeks ago faced a killer storm that has devastated that area. 877-217-5757. Tom in New Orleans. Tom, you're on with Mark Ballard. Good morning, Tom.
Just out of curiosity, what is the mother of any black recruit going to think of what Ed Orgeron said with regard to Donald Trump when they come for a visit?
All right. Well, I think that's a question that Coach O has contemplated, and I think he realizes now that he put his foot in his mouth. He probably ought to stay out of politics, but there are now rumors in Alabama that that Nick Saban's going to endorse Joe Biden. So we've got football coaches getting involved in matters that are not really something that they focus on, because I know football coaches spend 10, 12 hours a day doing their stuff, and they don't really follow the news as closely as others. But we're talking about two educated people who have opinions, and if they want to endorse somebody, Mark, a listener, another listener asked, should they even be allowed to? Because Bud Davis, when he was chancellor of LSU, barred coaches from endorsing and other administrators from endorsing political candidates.
I think they're also citizens, and they have a right to say what they feel about it. They're also citizens from, you know, different places. And if Nick Saban, who's from West Virginia, may feel lean more towards Joe Biden than Coach Orgeron does, who's from the Lafourche Bayou, and they're products of where they grew up, and they're products of what they believe. And I think they have a right to say what they think. However, think about Coach Saban backing Joe Biden in Alabama. That's not going to be very popular among many in Alabama.
Well, but when it comes down to the players, he needs to feed the beast to keep the program going. I would suspect that most of the players on the Alabama roster are Biden supporters.
Not knowing much more about it, I would guess you're correct on that.
All right. David in Shenandoah, final caller for Mark Ballard. Please be brief, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim and Mark. I would just like to hear your comments on Mr. Woodard's release of the current situation where he held back on the coronavirus.
All right. Talking about Donald Trump's interview with Bob Woodward, Mark Ballard, the president obviously knew in early February that this was serious stuff, that it was an airborne disease that could be a major pandemic, but yet he was publicly stating otherwise, not only at that time, but several months later, and continues really to play it down. And he's even admitted that he did play it down because he, quote, wanted to avoid panic. Is this something that will have relevance with the American people?
Well, and I think there was an interview yesterday with John Kennedy on CNN in which it was brought up, that had he been more serious about it, had he not played it down, had he, the president, not played it down, that thousands of lives would have been saved. And it's hard to argue against that idea. I mean, I understand the let's not create a panic, but he also went on to say that it was a Democratic hoax. And he's held, about six, seven rallies in which hardly anybody was wearing a mask on that. I don't know what to say about it, but other than if I was president, I wouldn't have played it that way. So.
Well, thank you, Mark Ballard. Always good to catch up. We'll be calling again next Thursday. Appreciate you. Thank you.